Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's show, we're going to remember the lives of Harold and Mary Lee Higgs. He worked at the Army Depot for years and was very active in our community in different civic organizations. She was a teacher in the Jessamine County school system. We'll talk to their son, Bill, after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday as we continue to learn more about people, places, and things of Jessamine County. Today we're going to be talking about a couple who was very well known in our community. They were involved in a lot of activities. I know he worked at the Army Depot. She was a teacher here in our school system, and a lot of civic organizations he was involved in also. His name was Harold Higgs. He was married to a lady named Mary Lee, and with us today is their son, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
Glad to have you as we remember the life of Harold and Mary Lee Higgs. Start us off by telling us a little bit about how did the Higgs family get to Jessamine County?
Well, a long roundabout path, I suppose you can say. My grandfather, Bob Higgs, many would still remember him as working at Ethington Motors for many, many years and up into the 60s. His father had come to the area from Johnson City, Tennessee. And before that, the family had some roots down in North Carolina. And beyond that, I have a little bit of trouble tracking it. That's as far back as we can really trace.
Was there any particular reason they came from Tennessee to here?
None that I know of, but there was a general migration of many families from North Carolina moving through the Cumberland Gap. Now, this would have been in the 1800s, somewhat later than Daniel Boone. But many families came up this way seeking land, seeking work. And as it turns out, there are more Higgses in Kentucky than in any other state. Apparently, it was kind of a family affair. We all came up this way.
Now, you mentioned your grandfather, Ethington Motors, where the current police station is,
That's
I guess.
That's correct, yes.
Here on Nicholasville, or on Main Street. And we have to give references in this program because we have people listening that haven't been here for a while. It's right across the street from the Pizza Hut and the big tall smokestack. That building right there used to be Ethington Motors. Was he a mechanic? Salesperson? What did he do?
He actually pumped gas.
Oh, yeah.
He pumped gas. He also worked at the parts counter, I think, for a time. But he knew everyone in town. That was kind of secondary to who he was.
Right.
He was very active in the Lions Club. He was also a city councilman for several years and knew everybody, and everybody knew him.
Now, who was his wife? Be your grandmother.
Jimmy Higgs. Who lived to the age of 105. Wow, she was born 1904, lived till 2009.
And I know your dad and your mom both really took care of her in her latter years there, didn't they?
We did, although she lived by herself until she was 104.
That's amazing.
And finally, it became necessary to get her some full-time care. But beyond that, she was very independent. And up until the age of 95 or so, she would still go out to the nursing homes to visit the old people, as she put it.
Most of them younger than her.
Most of them younger than her. And she was quite a character. She was a Goss and still a few descendants of the Goss family in Jessamine County and Woodford County.
Was there other kids other than your dad?
He was an only child. He was born 1926. In fact, a couple of years ago, looking through some of his materials, we found the receipt where the doctor had been paid $25 to deliver him.
And that would have been at home.
That would have been at home.
25.
Christmas Day, 1926.
Really?
He was a Christmas
baby. Okay, so he is born. He's an only child. He's raised in the Jessamine County school system, I suppose.
Absolutely. Nicholasville High School.
And take us, I guess, at graduation. At that point in time, what did Harold Higgs decide it was time to do?
Well, he graduated on a Friday and was inducted into the U.S. Army on Monday.
Oh, wow.
It was 1945.
Yeah.
The war was winding down, of course, ended in August of that year. But in June of 1945, or May, I guess it would have been then, he had already been drafted. But the principal of the school then, who was Hattie Warner, basically went to the draft board and says, "You can't have this boy. He's going to finish high school."
And you know, from what I have always been told about Miss Hattie, when she said something, it pretty much went.
I think it was, "Yes, ma'am, whatever you want, Miss Hattie." So he was inducted into the Army upon his graduation in 1945.
Yeah. Now, did he know your mother by this point?
He did not.
Okay.
Right. They met after Dad returned from the Army.
Okay.
And attended Transylvania. It was Transylvania College at the time. Mm-hmm. It's Transylvania University, of course, now. But they met, I believe, at a fraternity dance somewhat later on. My mother was a student there. Dad was, we would say today, a commuting student. Mm-hmm. He did not live on campus. Mm-hmm. But he had joined Phi Kappa Tau fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they met at some social activity that was sponsored there.
Where was she from?
She was from Breathitt County, Jackson, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Grew up in town. Her father and had actually been born in Breathitt County in a log cabin. It goes back a ways. Up on Quicksand Creek, for anyone who's familiar with that part of the state. Her mother had come to Breathitt County from western Tennessee to teach at the old Lee's College.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yes, yeah. It's been defunct for a number of years. But somehow this lady school teacher and this rough-cut fella from up the holler met, fell in love, and married.
Wow.
And my mother was the middle of three sisters.
Mm-hmm.
No sons born to that family, but she was the middle child of three and was born 1929. So she was a bit younger than my father.
Yeah.
She was a bit ahead of him in school, however, because my dad served his Army time.
Yes.
So she had actually begun her schooling in 1947 or 1948.
While he was still in the military.
He was still in the military, yes.
I'm assuming that because her mom taught, that's what led her into that profession?
Led her and both of her sisters.
Oh, they were all teachers.
They were all three teachers. One of her sisters is still living.
Yeah.
A retired teacher, lives in Oldham County after a teaching career in Jefferson County, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all born teachers, I guess you could
say.
What
about that? Now, what did your dad go to Trancy for? Any particular thing?
Well, he went on the GI Bill, as so many people did.
Right.
And my father did not graduate. He did 3 years, which was what the GI Bill gave him. And he studied, I believe, psychology.
Really?
And also a minor in geology, of all things, neither of which had to do with his future career. But that's true for so many of us, I think.
Well, he got out after that 3 years and went to work for, I guess, the place that he would work for his whole career, right?
He did. One of the things that was current back then and fortunately still is that veterans receive some preference in hiring for federal jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, it was called the Lexington Signal Depot.
Oh, really?
Back then. Later became Bluegrass Army Depot.
Yeah.
But it was a facility that repaired and maintained electronic equipment for the Department of the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And he had always dabbled in electronics and radio and things like that.
Right.
And so it was kind of a natural move for him. So he went to work there as soon as he returned from the military. I think he worked here in town for about a year at a radio shop.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as the opportunity opened up there, he went to work for Uncle Sam as a civilian.
How long was he there?
He was there until he retired, and I believe he retired in around 1983. 83 or 84.
Okay.
So he was there his full working career.
Long time. We kind of parallel here with your mom. At the time of her graduation, I assume she went straight into teaching. Was it here?
Actually, she did not go straight into teaching.
Oh, really?
I came along in 1952.
Okay.
So she had a little challenge there.
All right.
She did, however, work at Verkamp's here in Nicholasville, mm-hmm. which was at the time a bottle gas dealer.
Right.
And she worked for them doing accounting, is my understanding. And then she began her teaching career. I was in the first grade, so that would have been around 1958 or 59.
Did she start here?
She started right here in Nicholasville.
So all of her career was here in Jessamine County?
All of her career right here in Jessamine County. Yes.
I remember her, I guess, the first time I ever knew her. And I actually, I guess, knew her before I knew your dad. Because I was a student at the what used to be Jessamine County Junior High.
Right.
And the best I remember, I think she was 7th grade, I think.
8th.
Okay.
8th grade English.
I know she shared a room. And back then, you know, when they built that new school out there at that time, they had pods. That's what they called them. And you basically walked into a commons area, and there were 6 classrooms. And usually the 2 on the left were the 7th grade, and the 2 in the middle were the 8th, and the 2 on the right were the 9th. But I remember she shared a room, if you will, with a Maddie Adams.
Yes, and she kept track with Maddie for many, many years afterward. Yes.
And I actually had Miss Adams, but I remember very well, very well. Every once in a while, your mother would come over to her room, and they would converse, or there was some times when maybe Miss Adams needed to go do something, and your mother would come over and kind of keep an eye on us, make sure we were staying in line. I will say this about her. You stayed in line when Miss Higgs was watching. You did.
She did not suffer a fool gladly. That is true.
Was she that way as a mom, too?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess she was maybe a little more lenient with me. But I actually had her as an 8th grade English teacher as well, because she was the only one teaching 8th grade English at that time.
Yeah.
And I remember one time getting in trouble for something. I forget what it was. Talking in class was the usual sin, I think, that got us in trouble. And I got called up to the desk, and I said, are you going to do something? She said, absolutely. You will write on the board. I must not engage in oral communication while studying scholarly achievements 50 times.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was not immune from her teacher's wrath.
Well, I have to ask, when you got it there, did you get it at home?
Usually. That was the threat. I couldn't get away with anything.
I understand. Because my mother, I can so remember the last line out of her mouth as she left the first day of school. And, you know, back then, it's not like this now. Back then, pretty much you cook your kids first day of school every year. And the last thing is, you know, at that time, you could do paddling. If he needs one, give it to him. Call me. He'll get another one when he gets home. And I know you understand that, too. You had a double whammy, though.
I got it. I couldn't get away with anything. I remember one time we were at the Coolidge Building.
Yeah.
Some listeners may remember that. We were on double sessions. And the Coolidge Building held the, I believe, 8th and 9th grade at that time. And we got there early in the morning. It was like 7 o'clock, and we were there until 1 p.m. And I remember one time being involved in a slightly illicit activity that involved running a gentleman's athletic supporter up the flagpole and saluting it. And I recall hearing, "What do you think you're doing?"
Oh, no.
And turned around, and there stood the gym teacher, who was Leonard Cavell. Many of you would remember Mr. Cavell. I believe Willis Wilder was standing back there, who taught history at the time. And my mother is standing there with her arms crossed. And I said, "This is not going to end well, is it?"
And you know, one of the most respected and well-loved teachers that probably ever walked was Leonard Cavell. But
absolutely.
Prior to knowing him, when you heard the tales, I remember as a 6th grader getting ready to go over to junior high, scared to death. All of us guys were because of what we'd heard about Mr. Cavell. Now, we found out real quick once we got over there, you do your work, you be respectful, you act right, he'll treat you like gold. You know, as long as you were a good kid, he was fine. But he had us scared to death. So to think that those three people were standing there and the one you were most worried about was your mom says a lot, you know.
Yeah, I don't think Mr. Cavell was even in my mind at that point. I knew that whatever he was going to give me wouldn't even compare.
And, of course, you mentioned another fellow there who went on to be principal of Wilmore Elementary,
yes,
Willis Wilder. Yeah. Some great people. So she taught in the school system, finally retired. Now, at this whole time, your dad's at the Army Depot. She's over there. And you mentioned yourself. And I want to stray a little bit and talk about what you've been into. Because you came along, you said, in
1952.
Were you only child also?
I was also an only child.
Yeah.
The Higgs family was fairly small. My mm-hmm. wife used to joke that we had a family reunion every time we got in the car.
I understand.
There were only about five or six of us until our own children came along. I am married to to Elizabeth Amidon, better known to many listeners as Liz Curtis Higgs.
Well-known author.
Well-known author and speaker.
Yeah.
We have two children who are well-grown by now. Mm-hmm. Our son will be 31 this summer, and our mm-hmm. daughter turns 29 next month, actually.
Okay.
And I moved to Louisville in 1974 after graduating from Georgetown College.
Mm-hmm.
Did a couple of degrees at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary mm-hmm. there in Louisville with the expectation that I would be, once again, the family tradition of being a teacher.
Right.
Taught for about a year and a half at Georgetown College. Also taught briefly at Southern Seminary while a mm-hmm. graduate student there. Worked in broadcasting for a number of years, mm-hmm. Both radio and in television, and left that profession in 1995 to work full-time with my wife, helping her in her writing and speaking, and have done some writing of my own, actually.
Good.
So I've been busy.
She... as you say, very well known to probably some of our listeners. And if you don't know these names, folks, Google them. That's the great thing about nowadays. You can find out who people are just that quick. How many books has she written?
She has written 37.
Wow.
37 books.
Was that something she always wanted to do?
You know, it is.
Yeah.
When she was a child, she would get these little marbled notebooks. You remember those,
oh,
Doug?
Yeah.
These
yeah.
little things that are kind of a marbled cover
mm-hmm.
and... most of us kind of looked at those things and said, that looks too much like school.
Right,
I'm going to put
right.
it to one side. Liz said, oh, that looks like a novel.
Oh,
and
wow.
so she was, as a child even, 8, 9, 10 years old, she would get these little marble notebooks mm-hmm. and she would do little mysteries and would write it all out by hand.
Yeah.
So that was sort of a foreshadowing of what her career might lead her to. Of course, she was in radio for a number of years as well.
Mm-hmm.
But her love was always writing.
Yeah. How many books do you say?
37, I believe, is the latest
37.
Count.
How many do you have?
One.
So. Well, only 36 more to go, and you'll catch up.
She is a little bit ahead of me. I will say that.
She had a little bit of a head start. Your grandchildren?
No grandchildren
Not yet.
Our son is married, but so far, no grandchildren.
Yeah, we
have a grand dog.
Oh, you'd okay.
Yeah,
all
grand
right.
dog, but no grandchildren.
All right. Well, mom and dad, they get you raised, and you're off to Louisville and eventually married and have children. Your dad decides, I guess, or one of them, who retired first?
My dad retired first.
Okay. Now, he was involved in a lot of extracurricular activities, if you will, that I know about. Let's touch on some of them. I know that he was involved in several civic groups, I
mm-hmm.
understand. I know he was big into the shortwave radio, amateur radio, I guess.
Ham radio,
so
yes.
So let's just pick one and talk
okay.
about
it. Well, Dad retired at the age of 55.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
You were able to do that with 30 years service
mm-hmm.
in government employment, and his Army time counted toward that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to retire relatively young. My mother retired several years later, about 4 years later. And Dad was of the generation that says you give back to your community.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do. He had seen that modeled with my grandfather, Robert Higgs,
right.
Bob Higgs, And that's exactly what he did. He had been in the Lions Club for a number of years. So had my grandfather, by mm-hmm. the way. They served together side mm-hmm. by side in the Lions Club cool. back in the 1970s until my grandfather's passing in 1971. He also became involved in the Planning Commission. Mm-hmm. He was involved in that. He was very involved in his church. Mm-hmm. He had for many years been a ham radio operator. He tinkered with radio as a very young boy, got his license in the early 1950s, and his friends would have known him as K4AKD.
You know, it's amazing. I see so many of those people who are involved in that. And, of course, you know, I guess it was in the late 70s, early 80s when the big CB radio craze yes. came about, too. And back then you had handles such as names.
Right.
You know, Gun Runner or whatever. But but the ham radio, it was always that number. And it seems like that was so identifiable. I can remember people who have died here in our community. For instance, people that your dad would have been with, Aaron Click,
yeah,
Chris Kreiner. And anytime you saw, if you go back and read their obituaries, you'll see that number. It's like it was their nickname.
The call letters identify the ham operator.
Yes.
And Dad always had a little fun with it. It was King 4 Aces, Kings and Deuces for K4AKD. And, of course, Chris Kreiner and, mm-hmm. and Arlen were both very, very mm-hmm. good friends. Mm-hmm. Dad was one of the founding members of the Jessamine Amateur Wireless Society. One of four founding members.
Was that the 10-4 Radio Club, or was that different?
No, that was separate from the 10-4 Radio Club.
Okay, so the one you're talking about, known as Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
He and those, was it those two and one more?
I think Chris was one of the founding mm-hmm. members. Frank Groh
may have been
one of the founding members,
Frank.
And there may have been one or two others.
Yeah.
But
it's still going today, I think.
It is still going today. I think they have about 50 or 60 members
wow.
now.
Wow.
But, he was one of the founders of that organization, and that was a love that he maintained all the way until his death.
And, you know, that's something that most people, if they even know what it is, because some of our young people don't know about that kind of stuff. It's kind of like a cassette tape. They have no clue. But most people that know about what it is probably just thinks, you know, oh, well, that's just a way to get on and talk to somebody. It's more than that. These guys have been very helpful in times of crisis and
absolutely.
Tragedy.
Absolutely. Emergency service mm-hmm. is one of the things that has always been part of the amateur radio
yeah.
service. And, in fact, one of the current mottos that often are used by hams is, when all else fails, ham radio.
Yeah.
Because when your cell network goes down, when your telephones go down, the ham still has a radio and can get through.
Yeah. I think one of the last times that I actually was with your dad, and I know it was at his home, he had called me to come and get something. It was a video, I believe, and I don't remember what it was that he had, or some audio or something. But anyway, I went over, and it seems to me, it wasn't too awful long, I don't think, before he died, but it seems to me like he was actually having somebody concrete in a new TV antenna tower or something there in the backyard.
Yes, he did have
Gary
that.
Morgan. That's who it was. Gary was
Morgan
there.
Concrete.
Yeah, yes. And it was he putting up a new tower or making it stronger or something?
He did install a new tower at his home over on Vicksburg Drive.
Yeah.
They moved there about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, of course, any good ham wants a big antenna.
He had
the tower installed so he could have his antennas on the top.
I know another thing that he was very involved in, because I also was for a little while. He was a long-time member of the board of the Jessamine County Senior Citizens.
Yes, he was.
Along with Charles Parton.
Charles Parton.
Mm-hmm.
Very,
yeah.
very active. And he and Charles had gone to high school together.
Oh, is that right?
And I think he had told me one time there were 12 in his graduating class, six guys and six girls. And Charles was one of those. And he maintained a very close friendship with Charles all the way up until his passing.
And, of course, Charles, we'll just tie all this in here, guys, and tell you who we're talking about. His dad, Harvey, who at one time was a sheriff here in our county. I think Harvey may have been county clerk for a term. I know he was a magistrate and served on the fiscal court when Sherman Dean was county judge. But that's Charles' dad. Family's been around here for a long, long time. We talked about senior citizens, and I think, am I remembering, was that Presbyterian Church?
Presbyterian he was active Church, Nicholasville Presbyterian Church. When he and my mother married, Dad was a member of the Disciples of Christ Church, the Christian church here in town. My mother had been raised in a Presbyterian church in Jackson, Kentucky. So the question is, where are you going to make your church home? And the memory that I have is that the pastor of the Presbyterian church actually came to visit them. And so they kind of made the decision that they were going to be members of the Presbyterian church. So they joined there very shortly after they married in 1951, and Dad remained a member there until his death in 2016.
And that was, well, of course, they had, I guess, left the building behind the courthouse
had,
and gone out
and
to another place.
They had
place.
Moved to a storefront in, in the south part of town. And, of course, the church closed this past fall. But Dad was, at the time the church closed, he was the oldest living member.
I know you you talk about giving back to the community, and we've named a bunch so far, but there's more. He was a member of the library board, I think, for a long time.
He was at one time, and the way that worked was when it was still the Withers Memorial Library. The Constitution or the incorporation papers of the Withers Memorial Library indicated that the Board of Directors would be the Board of Trustees of the Presbyterian Church.
Because of Miss Withers, I'm assuming.
I'm assuming that is true. And it was at first a private.
Because Sarah Withers, we'll draw my remembrance here of some history. Sarah Withers, who was a great member of the Presbyterian Church, actually left the money, the endowment, if you will, open a library here in our community. And that's why it was called Withers at that time. It isn't now. But so that's how it worked. If you were on the board of the church, you were automatically on the board of the library.
The board of trustees.
Oh, the trustees.
Yeah,
okay.
The board of trustees of the Presbyterian Church were the trustees of the library.
Okay.
So, yes, that was how that worked for many, many years.
Yeah. That's very interesting. I didn't realize that. And, of course, that has just grown into an amazing, amazing organization, the Jessamine Public Library. Just something how that has grown. Of course, my first remembrance, and you may remember before that, was, I guess, when it was over next to behind the Christian Church and across the street on the corner there, prior to being what is now the sheriff's office. Now, do you remember when it was down on Main?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm a little older than you are, Doug. I remember when the Withers Library was on the second floor of the post office building, which at the time is where corner of Oak and Main.
Right.
There's a bank that sits
Central
Bank. And in fact, I was just talking to someone about this morning. The library was on the second floor. The post office was on the first floor. And the basement was used by the Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts. I had a Pinewood Derby down there.
Did you really?
I recall that. Yes.
Wow. There are some pictures that exist of that building that we have on our Facebook page. And the thing that one in particular that is in my mind is when they still had streetcars.
Yes, the tracks were right behind there.
Right there. Very interesting. Boy, it's amazing how things change in a short period of time, don't they? Now, your mother, we've talked about all this stuff your dad did. Did your mother get equally as involved, or was once she taught, was her main involvement raising you and taking care of the house and him? Or did she have outside activities?
She loved her bridge. As in the card game.
Yeah.
And she had a number of people that she played bridge with, and she maintained that up until her death in 2015. She would have a weekly gathering of people to play bridge. Mom and Dad both enjoyed traveling with their motorhome, K camping. They called it camping. Now, to me, when the color TV is in the corner, it's not camping. But
well, there's another name for it, Bill, because I have one of those.
Oh, okay.
It's glamping.
Oh, I like that.
Glamorous camping is what it is. It's glamping.
That's a good word. But they were involved in that, and they had a camping club that they were part of that they called the Sunshine Campers, and they were involved in that for many, many years. Mom was also involved in the Retired Teachers Association.
Oh,
that was a
big
activity for her, and so she was able to maintain contacts with, you mentioned Maddie.
Right.
Many of the teachers that she had worked with over the years. Anna Wilson is one who comes to mind.
Yeah.
But many of the teachers that she had either taught with or been associated with as a colleague, she was very involved in that organization.
Mm-hmm. And they're still very strong today also as well.
A lot of people.
They are. Let me ask you personally. Now, you being the only child, you had their complete attention from both parents. So how would you, just give me a word or two to describe your mom? As a son,
loving, attentive, uncompromising.
Oh, yeah. And I can understand, knowing her as a teacher, that she was could be that way, too.
What you saw in the classroom wasn't all that different than what I saw at home.
Yeah.
Yes. Excellent was expected.
And your dad, same thing.
Much the same.
Really?
Personality-wise, they were somewhat different, but I think their expectations were much the same.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was fairly laid back. My mom a little bit more, a little bit less laid back, I guess I should say. It was a good life. It was a good life.
Yeah. And they complemented each other perfectly, had to stay together that long. But you think about it, I mean, he was... as far as I know, I mean, she liked her bridge. She really wasn't into the radio thing. She really wasn't into the being on the civic ear. I mean, it just different people, but they just complimented each other.
They did. It was always Harold and Mary Lee.
Right.
It was almost one word.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a good marriage. They were married for 62 years,
wow.
I believe, when my mother passed, or 63. My mother passing in 2015, my dad not long after in 2016.
Yeah.
And I've often thought that once it wasn't Harold and Mary Lee anymore, and it was just Harold, that something changed there.
Yeah, wouldn't be Harold long. And you can understand that. I mean, at some point in time, how long have you been married, by the way?
Tomorrow will mark 32 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
But after a while, the more you stay together, the more one you become.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And my mother and father certainly modeled that.
Yeah. Well, very nice people that I truly enjoyed knowing. I said I didn't know her as well because I really only know her through the school system. But him, I was actually got to be involved with a few things, the Senior Citizens Board. He actually came down a couple of years and videotaped us performing the Paul Sawyer play and did that. You know, he was in touch with my dad a lot about different things.
He was in touch with him. he knew so many people in the county. And in his latter years, he did get interested in video work.
Yes, he did.
And did a lot of things. You mentioned the Paul Sawyer story.
Mm-hmm.
He did videotape that for several years in a row when it was done. And when I cleaned out the house after my father's passing, I found literally probably over 200 DVDs or video tapes that he had done of community events.
Wow.
He just loved loved to give back that way. He always had some interest in photography.
Well, and to be honest with you, Bill, I think that's the reason I was at his home, was that he had called me to give me a copy of something he'd videotaped.
Could very well have been.
Actually, now that you say it, I think that's what it was.
That would have been in keeping with my father to do that.
He just wanted to give it to me and so that I could enjoy it and have have it. Yeah. Great people. Our time is up, but I appreciate you coming in. And
well, thank you so much, yeah, Doug. I've enjoyed being here.
This is
here.
Great. And good luck to getting those other 36 books written. I so much want to see you catch up. Tell your wife hello for us.
I will certainly
continued
do that.
Success. The life of Harold and Mary Lee Higgs, very prominent people in our community that we are so glad we're able to give back. And, you know, not only, I'll end it with this, not only in the community, but we've had shows on many teachers in our tenure here, and the fact that they continue to give without even knowing it, it's long after they're gone, people still being influenced by her and her teachings, and it's something that's to be appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
My thanks to Bill Higgs for coming in this morning and talking about his parents, Harold and Mary Lee Higgs. We appreciate you coming in also. We'll do it again next Saturday at 11. All Things Jessamine, brought to you by the Farmers Bank. Don't forget, I'm on every weekday morning from 6 until 8. We'll get you up and going right here on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville, and they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here, still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.